You know, as was mentioned this morning, this time of year is a popular time for people to turn over new leaves and to make resolutions, especially about getting into shape and losing weight and things like this, including myself, as Brother Kyle also mentioned that he himself has made. I have yet to make good on that resolution in the 17 days or whatever, however long it's been since the turn of the new year. But tonight I want us to focus on something infinitely more important, and that is spiritual exercise or staying in shape spiritually. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4, down in verse 7 with me. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 beginning, it says, "But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. You know, just as with our physical bodies, where we need a healthy diet and a steady workout regimen to stay in shape. And Paul is saying, and in this passage as well as many others, that we need to exercise discipline unto godliness. The importance, and emphasizing that importance of exercise. And we need to realize that refusal and neglect ultimately will make our faith suffer. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 with me now. Hebrews chapter 5. Just as the neglect of a healthy diet and exercise will make even some of the most menial tasks exhausting and strenuous, if we don't take the time to study God's word and become familiar with it and apply those things that we have learned, our faith is going to suffer. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 beginning, it says, "Concerning him we have much to say," that is Jesus as Melchizedek, "but it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For to be teachers, for by this time, though you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." There again, bringing that illustration to our minds. We can let ourselves just get so feeble, we're like little children who need to be nourished on milk again. And the writer here is saying that the same is true of spiritual things. You have allowed yourself to shrink through your negligence and indifference, that you have come to need spiritual milk again. And you need to be retaught these elementary principles that you should know and should be teaching others by this time. But your faith has suffered, and so as consequently all those that you come into contact with suffer because you are unable to teach them. Also, isn't it interesting that the scripture will use the same word that Paul did in 1 Timothy 4 in describing training in godliness or discipline that Peter will use to talk about training to sin. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 2 with me now. 2 Peter chapter 2, the word in the original language was gymnasio, if I'm pronouncing that right, but it sounds a lot like gymnastics. That's, in fact, where we get our word gymnastics from, that idea of exercising vigorously. And that's the word that Paul and Peter, that Paul will apply to exercising discipline and spiritual things. Look at how Peter uses those. 2 Peter chapter 2, down in verse 14, picking up the middle of a sentence and speaking about evil people here. Verse 14, he says, "Having eyes full of adultery, they never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls." Notice, "having a heart trained in greed, accursed children." So we can come to a point where we're not only forsaking training in godliness, but we are now training ourselves to sin, training our hearts for greed or training our hearts to sin. And so then we need to exercise. And when we say exercise, we're talking about application of these things that we have learned in God's word, which give rise to spiritual growth. Look over in 1 Peter with me now. One book back into 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, down in verse 2, this is what he says, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." And Peter will again emphasize growth, and where we just came from in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, he will end that letter by saying, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. So we need to be constantly learning and have a steady regimen, a Bible study, and also be constantly applying those things that we've learned so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and grow in respect to salvation. Spiritual exercise is important. So just by way of practical application, then let's talk about what that looks like, how we can help ourselves get into shape, stay in the shape, and improve spiritually. And I think we need to start with a plan, just like every other exercise regimen in the world. Hopefully every good one will start with a plan. And every plan must start with a serious commitment. We can't be willy-nilly about this, go for a week and then give up, and then put all the pounds on that we lost previously. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 this time. And think about the language that Paul uses here in speaking to Timothy about this commitment that he is to have to truth. 1 Timothy chapter 4, down in verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, he says, "Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." Very strong language. He's talking about doctrine. He's talking about God's truth. He's saying you be immersed, you be absorbed, you give yourself wholly to these things. The ESV and the New American Standard and the KJV translate respectively. Again, very strong language. And again, he'll say practice, take pains with, or meditate upon these things. Work. In other words, that's what all these things really translate to. You take pains with, just as we say, no pain, no gain. You have to make sacrifices sometimes. Yes, you'll have to miss a football game or a favorite TV show sometimes. If that time that it falls within is the only time that you have to study God's word because you've had such a busy week, well, we need to make the wiser choice. We need to exercise spiritually. We need to get in and immerse ourselves into God's word and be serious about our commitment. Also, we need to develop a routine and make time for those things that Scripture demands be routine. Number one, just offer a few suggestions, prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, a very familiar passage to us. Paul simply says, you pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Does that mean I have to take several minutes to have a long, drawn-out conversation with God? Well, no. It means on the way to work, I can pray. When I'm in the shower, when I'm getting ready, or on my way home, or on my lunch break, or while I'm cooking dinner, I can pray to my God. Even if it's only just for a few minutes, I can just take time to be with Him and have that communion with Him and refocus and reorient myself and remind myself of what it is that I am here for, my commitment to Him. Also, assembling with the brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ, should be routine. You know, coming to services is a crucial part of our commitment to the Lord and to our brethren. And so we have to make time for those assemblies and time outside of the assemblies. Look over in Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24, beginning, he says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another. Do not love good deeds and do not forsake our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. But let us encourage one another, as all the more we see the day drawing near." Some people just refuse to apply this to the assembly, such as we are in right now. But absolutely, this is an assembly, and this is exactly what he's talking about. Even in a general context, I think it can be applied. Don't give up getting together and encouraging one another, and stimulating one another, sharpening one another, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. That should be a routine. It's going to help us grow, and is going to be part of our spiritual exercise. Also, consistent, continual Bible study, as we notice, is necessary for growth, even if we have to be reminded of the things that we've already learned. We've already read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. You remember there he said, "Long for that pure milk of the word, so you can grow by it." Look at something else, though, Peter had to say in 2 Peter chapter 1, down in verse 13. Now, remember, Peter, at this time that he is writing, he is still an apostle, that he was, as he was called, and lived with a man, our Lord Jesus, as he was on the earth He is an elder of the church. He writes to, or he admonishes elders, he says, as a fellow elder within the church. Look at what he says, though. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. This elder, this apostle, says, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. So continual, consistent, good Bible study means that we're going to have to return to those things that we've already studied and restudy them. And that, too, is going to be good exercise, good for spiritual growth. Studying God's Word, part of immersing ourselves in God's Word, is to rehash all those old studies that we've had before that we think we know so well, but we need to look at again, remind ourselves to what God has to say to us. Also, we need to set personal goals for ourselves and have goals in mind constantly. And we need to determine and assess, our progress. We need to be honest with ourselves. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 with me now. 2 Corinthians 13, down in verse 5, he says, test yourselves. Paul says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith, and examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? You know, there have been times, I'm sure each one of us maybe have set out to read through the Bible in a year, but we didn't follow through. Well, what happened? Well, we need to assess our progress in that. What was it that caused us to stop? Did we become indifferent? Did we become neglectful? We need to be honest with ourselves about our own effort in striving towards these goals that we have set for ourselves. Are we meeting them, or are we falling short? Are we not giving our best in trying to reach these goals that we have set for ourselves and growing spiritually? We also need to determine to get support. Look over in Romans chapter 1 with me. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 16, other end of the book, Romans chapter 16. And just look at this list of people with me that Paul will mention that he has with him. Romans chapter 16, down in verse 21, he says, Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you, and so does Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who write this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, host to me and to the whole church, greet you. Erastus, the city treasurer, greets you. And Cordus, the brother, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Again, speaking to, I think, the support that we need and need to surround ourselves with in order to help us meet these goals. Just as we looked at in Hebrews chapter 10, don't give up getting together, assembling together to encourage one another, stimulate one another. Paul was a strong man of faith, no doubt about it, an apostle, but he had a lot of help from his brothers and sisters in Christ, didn't he? And we need to take advantage of that asset that God has put before us in his design, for his people, that horizontal relationship, as we sometimes refer to, and take advantage of it and spend time with our brothers and sisters so that they can help us to grow spiritually. Look over in Ecclesiastes with me now, chapter 4. Just one of the many places we can look as to see the reason for God's wisdom and joining his people together as a family, as brothers and sisters. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, look down in verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? A cord of three strands, and if one can overpower him, who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken or is not quickly torn apart. Again, our brethren can help us in recovering from setbacks. If one falls down, his companion will be there to pick him up. James, just as James chapter 5 and verse 16 will teach us, part of responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ to one another that we have is helping one another, reaching out to one another when we do have those setbacks. When we make mistakes and we fall in sin. James chapter 5, down in verse 16, look at what he says. James 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Look down in verse 19 now. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that the one who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. We can talk to one another about our sins. And he says, confess to one another your sins and pray for one another. And also you have this responsibility, verse 19, to reach out to those who have fallen away and bring them back so that their sins will be covered. Again, we need to be surrounding ourselves with that kind of support and looking to our brethren to help us. That should be a goal. And also, goals can be long or short term. Let's end with a passage that we read this morning with Brother Pope in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, down in verse 14. He read the whole context for us, but let's just focus on verse 14. Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We dedicated a whole lesson to studying this passage once and noticed how the language that Paul used indicates one who is straining or exerting himself in a strong way to reach this, whatever he's going for. He says here, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, ultimately, that's all of our long-term goals, right? But we can set short-term ones as well. For example, you know, we can say as a goal that we can set for ourselves individually that I will invite someone to services by the end of the week. Maybe somebody that I work with or somebody who is even a casual acquaintance that seems to have maybe an interest in spiritual things. I can talk to them about that and I can invite someone to services by the way. Or I can resolve to read two chapters of the New Testament every day. And that can be a short-term goal. One that we can easily hold ourselves accountable to, that we can share with other people, that they can hold us accountable to. Did you read your two chapters today? Are you going to try and make it through the Bible this year? Have you set that goal for yourself? And again, ultimately, we all have the same goal. When it comes down to, are they a priority? Are they important enough to us? Are we serious enough about our commitment to attain those goals? And be honest with ourselves in assessing our progress toward them. You know, I've shared this example, I think, many times before becoming a preacher. While I was in college, I worked in a coffee shop down South Texas, College Station area. And because of the culture, I guess, of that school in particular, and maybe just being in the Bible Belt, it wasn't uncommon to go into those places and to where I worked and just see several people, maybe even groups, studying the Bible. And I would come in after hours and with not anything in particular to do. Just to visit. And I could have easily just asked, can I study the Word with you? What are you talking about? Can I join your study? But I didn't. Missed opportunities. Why? Well, it just wasn't a priority. At least not that day. And it wasn't important enough to me to take the time to reach out to those people. I could have, but it wasn't a priority. So we need to make spiritual exercise and growth a priority. So that's our message for this evening. If you're here tonight and you've come to have faith in Christ, well, we rejoice in that. But we need you to know that that's not all there is in His plan of salvation for you. Yes, He says, unless you believe in me, you will die in your sins in John 8:24. But He demands repentance as well, completely turning away from your former life and also confessing Him publicly and not being ashamed to name Him as your Lord, Romans 10:9-10. And he says you need to put him on in baptism. Clothe yourself with Christ is the way that Paul puts it, Galatians 3:27. And all things are ready for you to do that tonight if you so desire. And we would rejoice with you as our new brother or sister in Christ if you were wanting to make that decision. And if as a brother or sister, of course, you know the invitation is always open and that you should come forward. If you have some burden that you would like us to pray about, or something you need to confess to the congregation, and let us encourage you and that restore you to the Lord, reestablish your faith tonight. There is no time like the present, and you may not have another chance. Each time we come together is a new opportunity given to you by the Lord. It's His invitation, not mine. So won't you take advantage of it tonight as we stand and sing to encourage you.